Welcome back to another episode of Friday Night Light. My guest tonight is Mike, a dope soul and dedicated artist cruising through life on the slopes of Denver while capturing people's spirits with his caricatures. Find out how 30 years of friendship helped create the motivation for this podcast over driveway beers during a pandemic. Stay tuned. Hello.
Hello.
There it is.
Oh, now you're on.
You got 16 devices. We don't know which one we're using.
Dude. All right. We're good. Thank you. Sorry.
We good.
Okay, yeah. We're good. Check, check. 1, 2, check, check. Mic drop.
Hot mic. Literally. You're so cute. You're hot. Get it? The mic.
Boom.
Okay, so how are you?
Happy birthday.
I'm great, and you know, this is actually really special that you agreed to do this on my birthday, because I have not done a podcast in a month, so it's been a little bit of time. And this time last year I was actually with you out in Denver, so
that's right, the Roots Crew.
That's a little universe shit going on. Hashtag
Legendary
universe shit.
Roots Crew. That was so much fun, wasn't that?
Yeah, so we went to the Roots concert. I know them. I don't really listen to them all the time, but I know you're a huge fan, and that was fucking epic. That's probably so one of the best concerts I've ever been to.
Trying to think, what was the last concert I went to pre the craziness? Do you remember yours?
I don't know what mine is either. Yeah, my last one was actually Miranda Lambert, like in February, and it was a last minute decision. I didn't want to go, but I'm sure glad that I did.
What was mine? Golly, I don't know. It might have been the Root. No.
That was November 2019.
Yeah. No, it might have been a DJ or like Mark Farina.
Didn't you go to that art thing afterwards? Like you were at some. Or was that before? You went to some amazing art exhibit thing that there was live music there too.
Oh yeah, that was a Meow Wolf joint. Yeah, that was awesome. I mean, it was, yeah. Are you familiar with Meow Wolf?
No, but I remember you telling me all about it and seeing that down there. What's that all about?
I've been to the one event that they hosted here in Denver, but it's an art installation, I think, like an art installation experience. Out that started out in Santa Fe and moved from Sam. Now they're opening a second location in Denver, and they do all sorts of pop-up events like that thing that I went to, where you just see stuff that you've never, like, somebody, you know, people create some, I mean, funky stuff, and it's like, man, who thought of that? It's so cool. I mean, it's just this immersive experience. I don't know. That's all I can describe it as. Anyway, sorry, on a tangent there, but
there's going to be much tangents going on.
All right, good.
But let's start with also everybody should know that we're actually doing FaceTime while we're doing this, and yours just failed, so I don't know what that means, but fix it.
Sorry, my bad.
And let's start by telling everybody who you are, what you do, all that jazz.
Well, my name is Mike Rosenbaum. I am a friend of Miss Cherry over there, and I draw pictures to pass the time right now, sometimes as a job. Oh, sorry about that.
It's okay. Hey, we're back.
All right, muting. Sorry, this is going to be so bad at the beginning. Okay, back in the saddle here. So, where were we?
So you're Mike Rosenbaum. You are drawing pictures for fun, but it is definitely your part-time, if not full-time, love and job in life. And you've been doing art for how long? Let's start there.
Well, I've always been attracted to drawing for sure since I was a young Mike Rosenbaum. My grandmother Dorothy Rosenbaum was an artist, and I can always remember Christmases. She was always getting me like calligraphy sets and what else? Just drawing supplies, like art supplies. She was definitely pushing that on me, and I never really thought much of it. And actually, it's a really, my art journey is a really long, interesting, sometimes painful, sometimes super exciting, ride. But, yeah, I think that's where it started, was my grandma Rosenbaum. And then, yeah, I did art. Like, I was always in art class through, grade school and whatnot. And then, like seventh grade, had a really, rough go at, with my art class then, because I was a social being at that point in my life, and I was talking to kids a lot, and like I wasn't focused on the art and stuff. And my teacher pulled me into the back of the room and he said, "Look," he said, "you talk too much and you're never going to be an artist."
Yes.
And I was like, I said, I mean, I didn't say anything, but I've never forgotten that. And it took me a long time to get over that. But I finally did in my 30s. I went back to art school and pursued it, and got a degree in animation and worked in that business for a minute. And then 2010 had an epiphany that I wanted to figure out how to draw pictures for a living, how to create something from nothing and get paid to do it. So I figured that out. Oh, sorry. Please.
No. So I think it's interesting, you know, I'm always really consumed and mesmerized by artists and musicians and people who just create. I mean, I think that's why we connect so well, is because I want to be in your brain. I love, like, you know, the things that you connect with and why. And I think it's very interesting as we look at our life going back, is like, oh, well, that was really my first, you know, run with that through your grandma. I mean, then you weren't thinking anything about it. But now when you show me that painting too, that you have at your mom's house, like, or at your house, I guess, that she painted that or drew that, I'm like, holy shit, I never knew that, you know, art really was in the genes of your family. And I think it's interesting too, that a lot of artists and musicians always kind of bookend their talent with, you know, I'm not the best, but I'm not the worst, or it's painful, but it's also exciting. And do you think there's something to be said for that? Like, as far as living in that kind of imbalance of it, is that what makes it so exciting and awesome?
Yeah, I mean, that whole idea of flow state, I can, drawing is something that can get me into a flow state. So like, to the point where the best way I can describe it is, I'm almost like, I feel like I'm maybe even cross-eyed when I'm doing it. Like, I'm looking at what I'm doing so intently and so focused, and like trying to keep that line steady and straight and clean, and, you know, taper it at the right moment. And, you know, and then making it look like the subject that I'm drawing, you know, obviously a huge piece. And so, man, this is going to be a long interview reminding me of the question again.
Well, just, you know, where the art flows for you, and you use that, you know, the flow state for you. I think that's really important. But I think that a lot of artists and musicians, you know, they say the similar thing about it being this painful yet exciting experience, because it's really, you know, you're your worst critic and you're also your best critic. And I've seen that in you. And I do want to go back a little bit before we get so much into the art. I want everybody to know, part of this podcast is, you know, getting to know people that I don't know very well, but this is very much the exception. I've known you for 30 years. I don't do math, but
30 years.
I know it's around there somewhere, since I just turned, you know, the big almost 50, but
2-1, 21 shots.
But as long as I've known you, you've always been kind of the creative type, if you will. Like, so we know each other when we used to live in Germany back in the day, because our dads were in the military, which is so fucking wild to me to think about little old Stitch, who, you know, was like this kid I didn't really know. And then, you know, me being the brat that I still am, like the fact that we have like come together, and you're a huge part of why I'm actually doing this podcast. So thank you for that inspiration. Well, the connectivity to getting it done, because I was just stalling.
Yeah, it's all you. Time. You're doing it. Killing it. Crushing it.
But I think we inspire each other that way. I mean, your art is definitely not like other people's. It's very unique. And tell people what you actually do as far as your art is concerned. Like, most people think about art and they, you know, it's their own kind of perspective on it too, but your art is very specific and very interactive, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, definitely. The caricature side of it for sure is all of that. I was just describing it the other day as, you know, the mixture of live performance with, deep focus, with an entertainment factor, as you're entertaining, the subject in front of you and trying to keep them at ease to get the angle or the look that you're looking for so that you can capture their spirit on the page, you know? So, yeah, it is, it's all of those things. It's, and if I'm being, I mean, just blatantly honest, there's an ego factor that I can't seem to escape yet. I'm sure it'll go away at some point, but you're kind of the center of attention, and people, you're getting hassled. I mean, people hassle you, but you also are getting complimented, and people are, it's just like this, I guess kind of almost real life melodrama in a way. Like, you know, everybody says the same jokes, and I say the same jokes. Like, I say the same jokes over and over and over again, but they're new to the people that I'm telling them to, and it makes them feel, and it will make them remember the experience. And it is about the experience for me. I want, like, when I rip the page off and I turn it around and show them, I want them, that reaction is wonderful. It's great. I mean, 99% of the time.
Right.
You have some fails for sure, but that's the other piece of it, right? It's like, some of them are fails, And so.
Well, and I think there's
Interesting business for sure.
The whole ego factor thing, I don't think you should. I mean, you're an artist, and I look at it as you kind of being on stage, that is part of the appeal to it, that, this is your craft and people are here to experience your craft. And, I've been to several concerts where I'm like, oh my God, I love these people. And then they just don't perform as well. So that's like very rare, because I love that experience, much like you love to give that. But I don't think there's anything wrong with the ego factor in it. I mean, you're an artist, and that's something too that I try to always remind you, is like, that is such a gift, and not everybody can do that. I mean, period, and I think
I take a little exception there, because I do think anybody can do it, but I think, it's what area of your life do you really want to devote that deep focus to? Because it does take that.
Mm-hmm.
And and I have it in spurts, and if consistency is the key to life, then you got to have that deep focus, I think, in whatever you're passionate about. So
and I also think too, there's a lot of that vulnerability part that we love so much in the other people, like in the trust factor there, that
there's a little bit of that,
that,
a little mutual,
mm-hmm.
You're kind of putting, there's this mutual kind of agreement that and some people violate that, in this business, and violate is a, gosh, that's a strong word, but take advantage maybe is better. I don't know, just there's a dark side to caricature for sure. People go over the top sometimes, mm-hmm. purposefully,
mm-hmm.
So,
Now, you know, and
but whatever. How, and that, we're talking like live retail caricature. We're not talking like
right. Yeah. Or... And so, yeah, that's a thing too. That so, you know, right now you're very busy with still doing caricatures just off of people's pictures and things like that, which you're very good at. I mean, but for the most part, I mean, I know that you've been missing because of COVID that, that you're missing that interaction that, you know, you used to be like downtown in the city of Denver, right?
Right. Yep. Downtown Denver for 8 summers, Thursday through Sunday. Yeah, man, some of the best moments of my life were experienced down there, seriously. So that was a super treat. And then last year we opened up in Idaho Springs, which is a little mountain town about 40 minutes, maybe 45 minutes outside of downtown Denver, mm-hmm. West in the mountains, and super touristy town. That's, you know, the tourist industry is what drives that town. And so perfect for my little operation to, you know, go down there, set up my little retail stand and draw people and give them a memory. So yeah, I get goosebumps a little bit thinking about my whole idea of what I do has changed mm-hmm. in that it, when I started, it was I'm drawing pictures for money and people are paying me to I'm creating a memory for somebody. This is a tangible, you know, thing that they can look at, and I'm pretty sure it will trigger several hundred memories about
yes.
that specific moment in time. You know what I mean? That to me is what I do now.
Well,
I provide memories for people.
Absolutely. And I do think there's kind of and I don't know if stigma is even the right word, but I think that with caricatures, we always think of it like when we're going to like, you know, a festival or the zoo or someplace there, it's just like a pop-up and there's some amazing artist like, yeah, I want to sit down and do this, where most people don't, I mean, these are great gift ideas, which you have, you know, continuously done, but people don't always think outside of the box. And I know, like, the ones that I have from the little pop-up thing that they did over in Parkville that, I mean, I can remember exactly why she chose the thing she did for me and each of the girls, you know, like, as far as the little, the funny parts of it. So it absolutely is a memory. And you know, I think that having it in these touristy towns is, it's perfect because people don't think of it as...
It's a really good fit.
Yeah, people don't think of it as something that they would normally necessarily want. But then when they have it and they're like, oh man, that's awesome. You know, and it's, I love it too.
No, I do think that.
I love it too, because even the little one, the ones that you've done of me, like your perception of me is like totally different from how I see myself, but so still accurate. That's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of art in my head, which is why I respect it so much. Like the perspective of it all is just, it's mind blowing to me. So, and
it's fun. I mean, I'm out of practice for sure. COVID is bringing a brother down a little bit. I am retooling. I am in the process of retooling the business right now, taking it more digital and getting it out there online and trying to find my niche that way, because I mean, if we've learned anything from this crazy time, it's that you gotta, you know, you're going to sometimes be forced to think differently. And there's just, I mean, the only way to survive is to think differently. And so,
I love that actually.
So, you know, whoops, sorry, making a ton of noise here. But yeah, I mean, I gotta take it online. I gotta figure out a way to, you know, live events was definitely the bulk of my business, and that hasn't happened for a full year now. And I'm definitely I'm just feeling it, seeing it, and in multiple ways. I mean, like I said, I'm, you know, it's a rush. It's a fun. I have fun doing it, and so I haven't had that fun, and that I'm really used to having a lot.
Yeah.
You know? And then coming up into December, you know, I would typically be booked out for an entire month, you know, Friday, Saturday, sometimes Sunday, and definitely, or not definitely, but a lot of times scheduled twice on a Saturday for corporate holiday parties. So yeah. It's, you know, it none of that's happening right now. So, and then working a day job from home and living in a place that's a little more isolated, I live up in the mountains in a small little mountain community called Dumont, Colorado, and right along I-70. It's been a pass through my entire life, and I kind of stumbled upon it and in a weird way, and it's a little gem right here, 50 minutes outside of Denver. I really love waking up every morning in the mountains, but
yeah. So tell me a little bit about
missing all that other stuff for sure.
Tell me a little bit about how you ended up there. So, you know, we're military brats. We moved all over. I know that back in the day you were married for a smidge.
Married for a smidge. And that's about where it exactly.
You were, where did you live when you were married?
That's when I was in, when I was married, I lived in Perth, Australia. My ex-wife, had a job over there, and, it was a weird, crazy dynamic of, getting married, and her company at the same time, like we were getting married, offered her this job opportunity in Australia. And so, they wanted her to go like a month after we were, after our wedding, our marriage, whatever. We talked it over and, you know, decided that, yeah, that just wasn't going to work. The reason being was that, okay, so circling back to the art career a little bit, I got a late start with my professional art career. And so, I went to art school in my 30s, and pursued a degree in animation there. And then, worked in that business, as we talked about, for a smidge, interestingly enough, with your dad.
That's right.
At a company. Right. So look at that. I forgot all about
that. I did too.
Right. So I had a couple jobs like that. That's what I did in Perth. I worked for a small little boutique studio there. And then, where were we going with this?
Well, so I know why now you love Colorado, but what was your initial draw to always be there? Like, so, you know, a lot of people that are military brats that we've settled here because our parents were here. And so what was always your draw then to end up in Denver?
I grew up in Colorado Springs. I was actually born in Nebraska, but my family moved to Colorado Springs before I turned one, had celebrated my first birthday there. And I don't know. I just, there was always, my story has never not included Colorado as far back as I can remember. Mm-hmm. It. It's just always been where I was going to end up. So there was just no question about it. I don't know. I can't say that I've had many epiphanies like that are so, so tried and true in my life but that has always been one. Like, no matter what happens, I will always end up back. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty nomadic. I mean, I think the military life has bred that into me a little bit, you know? So
absolutely. It's funny today when I posted about my parents, because, you know, so many times we talk about the dads in the military, for most of us anyway. And, you know, my mom was right there too. So when I posted today though, and I said that it taught me a lot, and it taught me that, you know, I should move every 2 years, it auto corrected to love. And I'm like, oh,
whoa.
I'm like, wait, what? That's not wrong either. Every 2 years, like, yeah, probably. Maybe it's time. But yeah, I do think that the
right. That's for
yeah,
sure.
I think the military life, I'm always intrigued by the fact that you ended up there, because for me, I never really knew where I was supposed to, quote, fit in. I always wanted to move back to a small town, well, where my parents were, so I could be close to them, which is such a blessing. But now living in this small town and all this, I'm over it. Like, going out there last year was so freaking epic, and being to Chicago, going to Chicago and then seeing Rhode Island and like all these big cities that I've never actually seen or experienced as an adult. It definitely opens my eyes and my ears to everything that is still a possibility, you know? So I admire you that you're set up, and especially now you've got this even cozier nook up there and you're doing your thing. Like, you know, that's awesome. I think there's a lot to be said for that too.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate it. And I do, again, it's funny because I hadn't thought about that for a long time, but I have thought about it, that Colorado has always just been, I don't care how expensive it gets here. Like, I will always live here. It's so expensive to live here now, that I'll tell you that much.
Well, yeah. And to actually have some fun. So I know you love to snowboard and ski? I mean, you're more of a snowboarder than a skier, right? Or do you do both?
I did ski. My dad taught me to ski when we lived in Germany. Mm-hmm. Is when I learned to ski. So like 7th or 8th grade, and then moved. We would vacation out in Colorado. So we lived in Kansas at the time, and we would vacation out here a lot. And when snowboarding, I just knew that I grew up a skateboarder. So the nickname Stitch that we brought up that triggered like, holy crap, I haven't heard that.
Oh God.
Like actually
we need a medic over here.
Yeah, pretty much. It was like, oh yeah, that was that. But that was a fun time of my life, skateboarding every day, like just every single day. I really like board sports are my jam for sure. I love to paddleboard. I've got an electric skateboard that I zip around on,
and then snowboarding. I fucking love that so much. Like it's very European, you know. Like it's so European to see. I use the word quote adults loosely because I feel like we still have a lot of growing up to do, but like you don't see people don't normally see grown ass men on that. And you know, unless you live,
you get some looks.
And no, but I think it's amazing because in Europe, it's like, that's just what people do. And I feel like that was kind of installed in us. So anytime that I've seen you on that, I just think it's cool as shit. Like just keep doing that stuff, you know?
It's super fun. Yeah. Well, it really, I know it sounds stupid, but it is a part of me. It is why I live in the mountains. I mean, aside from drawing, I think snowboarding, and I'm not saying I'm a good snowboarder, but it's a confidence thing that I have. I've been doing it a really long time, mm-hmm. and I love it. And it feels very natural to me. Not to say I don't fall, not to say I don't get hurt, not to say it's not dangerous, but, I feel very comfortable and confident on a snowboard.
That's kind of interesting too, because I feel like that kind of matches up with the whole art thing where it's kind of like this, you know, this exciting thing, but it's also kind of a risky thing. Like, here I go, you know, and I feel like that's the kind of the whole metaphor of being on a snowboard is to keep yourself upright and, you know, kind of move around the turns and things. I feel like that's very much you, if that makes any kind of sense. Yeah. But,
I mean, it is very, it's a very float, like, so if you've ever skied,
I'm terrible.
Like deep powder.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So deep powder is just, I mean, it really is the best. It's like, I don't know, cotton or fluffy pillows or you're floating on top of it. And the sound is absolutely nothing for the most part. I mean, there might be wind blowing or something like that, but like, it's so light and fluffy. There's no sound while your board cuts through this stuff. And I wish everybody could have, I mean, for me, it is, you know, as close to heaven on earth as I think I've ever gotten. So, it's magical. It's stupid good. Stupid.
Yeah.
Good.
No, I totally understand that.
I love it.
Yeah. I totally understand.
Gives me chills just thinking about it.
No. And I can see it too. And I totally understand it. I'm just not good at it. And the fear factor for me is just too high, but I do very much admire people that do it and are good at it and aren't afraid. I mean, you know, that's you talking about getting a ski pass and all this. And I mean, it's just a no-brainer. Like it's part of your being, you know?
Yeah. It's part of the budget.
Right. Yeah. Right. Which was awesome last year, you know, being up there and you being able to kind of show me around. I think that's very important for me. I'm so blessed to have friends that know cities like deep in the city and being able to like learn it from what you know. That was pretty epic. And I'm still coming down off a high from that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that was a year ago. Feels like yesterday.
I know, it's wild. And
but we've had a lot of interaction over the last year with all of this stuff going on too.
Absolutely.
So, you know, there's been a blessing in that. I mean, I think that's actually could be argued that that's why we're sitting here having this conversation.
Absolutely.
Right now.
Because I was going to get to that because so it's weird because, you know, your family lives here, my family's here, and we rarely saw each other at all. And we obviously kept in touch, but ever since COVID hit and you were back here, I mean, we did our driveway beers and discussed this podcast. I mean, did the full moon meditation thing with Dr. Karn. I mean, that was like one of the best times of my life. Just that little,
it was super fun.
I mean, it was like getting back to center about things that you care about and forgot about. And I think if anything, with everything going on in the world, it's kind of, that's what it's taught me. You know, what's important, what feels right. So sitting in the driveway and shooting the shit till, you know, one in the morning or whatever it was, it's definitely up there with life experiences. And I think, you know, like we think about, oh, it's, we've got to go to the Grand Canyon or Great Wall of China. I'm like, eh, I'm good on the driveway. Right. I mean,
in this day and age, right. Why not? I mean, and it was fun and it was there were, you know, I mean, first of all, I mean, it, you know, the just trying to be thankful for the stuff that it's brought, this whole weirdness, is going and spending 2 months back in Kansas and, you know, seeing my family, seeing you doing driveway beers. Like that was the thick of it then. And things were really weird then. Remember, yeah. Like, people weren't going anywhere really. And that, so just coming to your driveway was kind of a big deal. You know what I mean? Like and even on the driveway, we were spread out 12 yeah. feet. Like we weren't getting
yeah,
close.
Yeah. I could barely hear what you're saying. Not just cause I'm deaf, but yeah, it was good time.
anyway. Yeah, no, it was. So, and here we are.
And so all of that going on, I mean, how has that helped kind of get you back to center? Like, how has all of this really impacted? I mean, hearing it, how it's impacted you as an artist, but like as a person, especially after that whole full moon meditation, I really feel like that affected both of us pretty deeply because.
Yeah, no, it was awesome.
And for people that don't know what that is or people who don't believe in that, we did a full moon meditation where it basically was we did a virtual get together with a life guru that I love, Dr. Karn. And there were other people there and we did meditation, we lit candles, and you write down basically your manifestations and things that you don't want to stick around and burn those. And I've always done that on my own little mini scale, but I think involving other people, it kind of held me more accountable. You know what I mean?
Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah. I have my own practice of doing that. I mean, with the little journal that I keep. But that was a unique experience, and doing it virtually, and we were posted up in your garage and you had your tapestries up and like,
yeah,
I mean, if somebody walked by, they probably think we're doing a seance or something, but, it was
mind your business.
It
yeah.
was dope.
Yeah.
It was fun. And we had a good time and had a little champagne and just, yeah, brought in a new beginning for that quarter.
And yeah.
It was cool.
And I feel like too, you know, yeah, you're pretty close with your family, but even being as close as you are in Denver and Kansas, I mean, I know you guys always get together out in your cabin and whatnot. But I really feel like for both of us, we really reconnected with our families over this time. Wouldn't you say?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no, I've had some of the deepest conversations with my mom. Mm-hmm. That we've ever had during this time. My youngest sister and I have grown into a bond that's been building over the last few years. We had a family trip to Hawaii a couple years back, and my youngest sister and I are 13 years apart in age, and there's been a little bit of a disconnect because of the age gap, I think. And so, I mean, not because we don't like each other, because we do, but it's just, there's just like not have been a lot to talk about always. And so, so we're finding that connection now, and, it's been pretty magical. She's, one of the smartest people I know. And she deals with some heavy, heavy stuff. She's a high school, therapist, or a middle school therapist, excuse me. Middle school therapist, and you know, she's seeing crazy stuff with, you know, kids having to homeschool and or virtual school and or show up at school a couple days, you know, whatever this whole system that we're trying to figure out is going on in your little neck of the woods, because it sounds like it's different everywhere. Not having kids, I'm not 100% up to speed on it, but you know, it's just, yeah, it's been a cool season of, I mean, it's been a hard season too. I've had, you know, it's been a roller coaster ride. I mean, but yeah, that 2 months while I was back there was pivotal and a time I'm never going to forget. And I'm grateful that, it took something weird. It's kind of weird to say, but you know, I'm grateful that COVID took me back there for 2 months just to kind of check in on my family and make sure, things were going well. And my mom was, you know, who's 70 plus, you know, could online grocery shop and take care of herself, right, and make, you know, just not go out any more than she had to and that whole thing, you know? So yeah, it was super cool and blessed that, you know, I have the flexibility in my day job, to work remotely from anywhere.
Yeah, that's a blessing, I mean, for sure. I mean, I quit my job, so that's one thing. And I was blessed with that too, to be able to help.
You had just quit that job.
Yeah,
right,
like you
right,
showed
right,
up
yeah.
And I was like, you're like, so what's new? I'm like, oh, I quit my job. You're like, cheers.
That's right. That's right. Cheers. Have a beer.
Oh man, that was a weight lifted. Oh. But so let's get into a little bit of more intricate things here. Well, you mentioned not having any kids. So one of hashtag blessed. No, so we are always talking about, you know, relationships, and you know, you and I are always trying to like dig deeper into who we are and what we want out of people or want out of life. And so, you know, not having kids and being 45, wait, are you 45? How old are you? Oh, that right. I forgot. The Tinder says 35.
That's how you know I'm 45. That's how you know. That's how right. You know I'm 45, because I said DL. And I still think I'm cool.
And we're both laughing. Caitlin's like, oh God, I'm sure she's like, oh, you guys are so silly with your Wednesday memes on Thursday, she always says. But no, so is that something that even bothers you? Because I know for a lot of women, if they haven't had kids by a certain age, people immediately pigeonhole them. Or if they haven't been married, they're immediately pigeonholed, like, well, what's wrong with her? Her eggs must be whack. She's not a very soft person. Like, women get very much labeled if they don't have kids. So have you experienced anything like that as a man? I'm wow. Serious,
coach. I was expecting softballs here. What are we doing? No, I'm kidding. What I can say, how I can speak to that, I don't know that I can answer that question directly.
Do it.
Because I don't think so. But what I will say is that kids are something that I always thought I would have. Here's the spin. I think every time I say I'm probably not going to have kids, because I'm just at a point, it's a vanity play for me at this point. It's just like, I'm going to spoil my nieces and you know, any other nieces, nephews, whatever, that come into the family rotten, and just you know, live, you know, do that, because I think, and you know, hopefully donate money to, you know, causes where it helps other kids. And I think that's my purpose. I don't think I'm supposed to have them, quite frankly. I'm still just too much of a freaking idiot kid myself. So, you know, women, the counter to your question is what, and I, cause I don't really know how to answer your question, cause I don't think I've ever been asked.
Well, that's why I'm in charge of the podcast.
No, but I mean, not, I didn't mean ask that. What I meant was, I don't know that that's even been
right.
Like it's come up, you know,
which
so,
that's my point too, is that,
Yeah. No, for sure. So I guess that is the answer. Yeah, for sure. And then, but counter to that, women always say, well, you're a man, you can have a kid. You can always have a kid. And it's like, sure, fine. Like from the biological standpoint, you're right. 100%. But at this point, I like to think of it as it's a choice for me. I'm not saying it's out of the realm of possibility for me. I'm not taking it off the table, but It's a grape on like a charcuterie board. You know what I mean? It's like a afterthought.
You want to talk about cheese now, do you? Okay, I'm your girl.
All right. But I'm ching. How is that job going over there?
Yeah.
Cheese for days.
Anyway, so yeah, that's a good point though. Women probably do say that, oh, you can have one at any time. Well, no offense, but I don't necessarily think that's fair either. But I do think that to keep your vision of it open still, because you still can. And let's get into that too. So, you know, as we all know, I much prefer younger guys, and I feel like, because I'm pretty immature and I'm usually doing more fun things than most people my age, I guess. I don't really know. But I think for me, I prefer to date younger because they don't have kids. And so is that something like when you're dating that maybe it doesn't bother you if somebody has kids, or does that even come on your radar as far as like, oh yeah, that's part of what I find interesting about her is that she's a great mom or her kids are great, or you know what I mean? I'm curious as far as that. Yeah,
I do. Yeah. I mean, I think we've talked about this and I don't know. I don't remember. I hope this doesn't offend you, but it might, but yeah, I think I don't want to date women with kids.
Why would I be offended?
For the most part. I don't know. Have we talked
about
this?
I don't know. I can't remember, but I mean, this is for the audience, people paying attention.
No, I know, but I'm just thinking, I feel like I don't know, there's something familiar about this, but anyway,
Well, I guess my whole point in that is,
I don't think I want them at this point.
It is something on your radar as far as you would prefer that they didn't have kids, because I mean, I'm the same way, and I also think, you know, my situation's a little bit different for the reasons why, but I feel like, you know, we should be able to say that out loud. Well, yeah, I want to date somebody who has absolutely no kids or kids that are grown, right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I feel pretty strongly about it.
No, and you obviously you're allowed to.
I'm really thinking hard on it. No, I'm just thinking hard on it. I don't know why that is, but
well, no, and my point too is just like as far as what the dating world looks like now, especially for people our age, and the fact of most people our age have been divorced, some of us more than one time, and do have kids. So I feel like it kind of narrows things down if you don't say, well, God, I don't want to date somebody with kids. And so when you said that about being a great uncle and they have, you know, being a family guy, it seems like you're pretty much a natural. So I didn't know if that was something that, I guess I'm asking more for myself in the regards of other people, men your age, would they want to date somebody with kids? You know what I mean? Like,
I gotta think it's individual preference. I think the reason that it registers so hard for me is because I'm adopted by a guy who was this really great dude, obviously in my mind, who came and kind of rescued me and my family. My mom was divorced and living with me and my sister, and he came and kind of took us away from like what otherwise would have been a pretty, I don't know. I feel pretty like I've just had like with the military and whatnot, like I've had a pretty amazing life because I've had the opportunity to get around the world a couple times now and see some things. And circling back to the topic of kids, he did that and he was good at it. He did it really well. I don't know, maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe there's something of like, I don't know that I'd ever be able to do it that good. It's a huge responsibility. Mm-hmm. I don't take
no,
it.
No, I totally get that.
So, and maybe no. I'm just not into it, you know, and then that makes me to my, you know, to my knucklehead, you know, Peter
Pan
syndrome.
I think that's an
whatever,
excellent, so. Very honest, vulnerable point that, you know, I say to myself, I don't want to be somebody else. I don't want to be a stepmom because, you know, I love kids, but I love mine more. I love mine the best. And I'm a good mom to them because of the relationship and dynamic we have, but dating somebody with kids is really not my jam because I don't want that added responsibility. So there's some vulnerability in saying that, you know, my,
well, and you've done it, so you've earned your stripes.
Yeah. But
like your kids are becoming like you're having, like you have one of the most, I mean, I don't know if you remember this, but I think going back to how we reconnected was, I think I maybe messaged you on Facebook on your birthday when I was living in Australia and just said to one of the coolest moms I will ever know or something like that. Because when I think of you, I think Chuck Taylor's like, you know, like ball cap, like, you know, like enjoying life, having fun, like still, yeah. You know, you have a lot of youthful energy and spirit and we grew up kind of together. So I guess I still think of you as a kid or when we were kids.
Yeah,
I
mean, totally but, makes sense. Well,
and I don't know. I lost my train of thought again.
No, I think, no, and I take that compliment. That's like one of the best compliments, you know, hearing that I'm a great mom and that the relationship with my, the relationship with my kids is as good as it is because of the shitstorm that we've had to kind of maneuver through. But I also think that, you know, I had parents who taught me how to be a good parent. And I'm just a little bit, you know, more rough around the edges. I mean, my kids and I are very close. I just, you know, I was talking to somebody yesterday and I just started talking about my girls and got choked up and emotional. And I just thought to myself, that is what it's all about. That is my lifeline. My kids are everything to me. So circling back to all of that, it wasn't to put you on the spot as far as why don't you have kids and, you know, or.
No. There was a little bit of a visceral reaction to it. I'm not kidding. My stomach knotted up. Like, and I was like, whoa, what's going on here? Like, that was an intense question for me. I know.
You said visceral. Like, that's a good word. Yeah, no.
I have
oh, that's a word of the day. Cool. I have Trump toilet paper. No. Happy election week, folks.
Wow.
Let's get back into it. No, let's please don't. My whole right side of my head is like all gray hair just from reading people's Facebooks. All their Facebooks. They're one Dylan. I wasn't trying to put you on the spot as far as kids are concerned. That's good.
No, I didn't feel
good,
that
good.
Way
okay, so next question.
keep them coming.
Dodgeball. If you can dodge a ball, you can dodge a wrench. So I'm like scatterbrained. Where do I go from this? So circling back though, because I don't think we actually talked about what your business is called. First of all, you are an amazing artist, and like I've tried to remind you, because I think artists, you know, I see it all the time in these musicians that I love, and these are like super, super famous people. Like, they question themselves all the time. And I feel like that's why art is so good, that you are such a good artist, because you're constantly like, I don't know, it's not on par, it's not doing the best. But like, you have a legit business, you are a legit artist, and recently you did this amazing caricature of somebody famous that I really want on a t-shirt, and I really want to push that. I really want to push your designs on t-shirts, because
thank you. We'll get that out there. It's coming. It's in progress. I just had a big commission that I had to finish up for the National Mining Hall of Fame. It was about a 9-month kind of residency with them. Doing 2 or 3 commissions a month for kind of around the idea of this fundraiser that they were having.
My God, that's so 9 months. That's how long we've been in this. Because that you were really just starting that when COVID hit.
Actually, that contract came in last November, like sometime around this time last year. It's been my longest ever. It's it's like, you know, pinching myself to that people pay me to draw silly pictures of other people. It's crazy, but it's been a really cool project. It's been challenging and fun, and I've never had a project this big, so it's taught me a lot about how to you really, you know, for me, I do have to get in that zone, and it sometimes it ebbs and sometimes it flows, and when it's not when it's ebbing, I guess it's you know, you gotta, I don't know, I don't
so
I don't handle
that's
that,
the next question flows, what what makes it flow, like, so are we talking, I mean, I know we're open about everything that we do and say and whatever, so what makes it flow more, or what makes it ebb first, and then what helps it flow? Do you even know, like, can you pinpoint it? Do you know exactly?
Well, you know, I've been thinking on that question actually a lot this week, because it, you know, it it's a different time for me right now. I'm trying to refigure out my business now. So, my business is a sycamore.
Cyclical.
I just got so
roundabout way. Okay.
Anyway, but so yeah, I don't know. It is. So, like, you know, December is a crazy busy month. Like, I do a lot of revenue in the month of December, live events. So, and I'm drawing a lot. So it's keeping me fresh. It's keeping me, like, you know, up to par. It's the consistency, right? And so, and now, you know, so it's easier to flow doing the live events. The studio work is a real, for me, inner push. I have to sometimes dig super down deep and just, I don't feel like sitting in front of the desk. I mean, there's not that interaction, you know,
like, it feels like a job.
I have to kind of trick my brain. It feels like a job. And look,
no, absolutely
no complaints. I'm not, look, I, what a blessing. But there's, you know, there's an exchange of energy doing the live events, right? So you don't get that exchange if I'm, like, for example, doing just a, you know, like a kind of a portraity caricature for somebody, like an avatar type something. You know, I'm looking at a photo for, you know, an hour or two, and, like, there's no energy there.
It becomes this overthought process, right? Like, just.
And then there's that side of it too. Yeah. You go down these rabbit holes and you get stuck there, and then, you know, and then for me, I mean, just putting it all on, you know, on the table, mm-hmm. I'm a pretty sensitive dude, as you know, and I'm a pretty emotional dude. So, you know, I feel things pretty heavy and deeply, and, you know, and mm-hmm. I ride the highs and the lows. So, and so when the lows happen, it can be a few days sometimes before mm-hmm. I work my way out of that
phone. Well, and I think
but the highs are like goosebump, like real, like just I can't think of anything better in the moment, like pinch mm-hmm. myself, is this real kind of stuff, you know? So that's how I flow, and so the art flows that way, and I truly believe that. Like, I do get into flow states with it. Like, I just had one the other day doing these final pieces for the National Mining Hall of Fame. They're 7 individual portrait style caricatures that they're going to gift, their originals. Everything else we did for them was done digitally. And so, so I got into that flow state because of the consistency, the reps, you know, just doing mm-hmm. the drawings, you know, and that's what gets you there. But you have, you know, but you don't feel like it all the time.
That's the thing, though, too, that there's probably a misinterpretation of what artists, like, the life that they live and lead, like, David Nail, one of my.
In my reality, and mm-hmm. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but this is important. My
reality. Right. Yeah. You do.
I have a day job.
On top of that. Yeah.
You know, I have a job that pays my insurance and, you know, helps, you know, supplement when times are tough, honestly. And that's another thing I've learned about COVID. Mm-hmm. Thank God I have a day job, you know. Yes, do I want to be like a full-time worker? Yeah, but I think what this has taught me is I'll always have something else to, you know, just like a diversified portfolio for an investor or something like that. Like, I'll have a few things, right? Because it's, this has been crazy that way, right? And I mean, my business is suffering. Like, we haven't done a gig this year. We haven't done, we've done a few commissions, but the bread and butter of this business mm-hmm. is the live events. So, so that's missing right now, right? So thank God I have a day job. I'm really, really lucky, and it's remote, you know, and so I can kind of sometimes, you know, pick and choose my time so that I'm balancing it differently for different projects,
right?
You know, as long as the work's all getting done.
Well,
you know,
that adds to the perspective too. Yeah.
But it is a balancing act, and it is an energy suck. And, you know, one thing, have we talked about soul points?
Hit me.
Oh my God. Okay. So Pete Holmes, You Make It Weird podcast, Mark Duplass. There's two episodes out now about it. Go give that a listen, yourself and all your listeners. They talk about Mark Duplass we've got this podcast is going to go on for
that's
days,
the whole point.
Mark Duplass, soul points, go look it up. Soul points, it's what brings you, where do you max out on your soul points, you know? And that's like what gives your soul that life, you know? That's how he talks about it. If I could sit down right now with anybody at a bar and have a beer, it would be Mark Duplass, because this fucking philosophy that he spits.
Yeah, I want to hear that for sure. I mean, I'm always open to that stuff too. That's something I just had coffee with one of Kaylin's best friends' mom, who's a Reiki instructor, and she's very open, and you know, she has pretty much brought herself to that point where she can, you know, help other people see their soul points. And I told her, I said, you know, I've always been that way too, but I've just never really owned it, much because I don't like school. I don't like being forced to do that kind of stuff. But I'm always very intrigued by that next layer of, oh, I want to read about this and learn how to do this and figure out more about myself. I mean, I feel like people think there's like this pinnacle of like, oh, well, I did this, now it should all be better. And it's not like that. It's a constant getting to know yourself, wanting to be better, learning from your mistakes, and listening to, you know, his podcast, this podcast, anything that can kind of enlighten you. So yeah, I definitely want to check that out.
The full moon meditation, all that stuff. No, for sure. Yeah. Pete Holmes is dope. I think Pete Holmes is my my soul doppelganger, my emotional doppelganger. I think if you just get to know his podcast a little bit, as you know me to be this emotional, like sensitive dude, like he describes it really well. I have a tough time describing it, but he can put it into words pretty well. So, but Mark Duplass is a bad man in a good way. and I want to have.
Well, I do want to go back to one thing. Just about being an artist. Well, two things. One about being an artist and kind of being forced into that highway. I think a lot of people forget that, you know, some artists, like I was saying, like people like David Nail, somebody I love, and being a musician is his job. Like the fact that he can't be doing anything right now, literally, but also the excitement of new music, but the pressure. Like we're all bored and we're ready for new music, but maybe he's not ready. You know what I mean? So as an artist, as a musician, I just have so much respect. And I know I've said that so many times, but I do. I have so much respect for what you do and the time that goes into it. And so the ebb and the flow of it, I feel like sometimes you're really hard on yourself about it, but it's totally fucking normal. I mean, to be expected to put out, you know, your perspective and your creativity, like, on a timeline, it seems kind of unfair. You know, like art's supposed to be like all flowy and just when it happens, and it's a lot harder to do it the way that you're doing it, you know, and like you're expected to do it on a timeline. And so I just
well, and I think that's where consistency to me is everything, you know. I really put a lot of emphasis on consistency, and I'm not good at consistency. Mm-hmm. So I'll put that on the table as well, like being, you know, I learned in Kansas City back in 2010 at the Illustration Academy workshop that's hosted there, which is just a phenomenal workshop with the top artists in the world teaching at it for a month, like intensive. Like you're there from like 5, 6, shoot, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning sometimes.
Oh, that's cool.
4 o'clock the next morning, like just on end creating art, and the top names in the illustration business are, they're teaching you, and they're there with you for a lot of it, you know, and they're up at late at night and are teaching classes during the day. And oh man, it's just, anyway,
you're fine. That's the whole point.
Okay, cool. So yeah, just remind me again of what the question was.
No, I don't remember. I didn't have a question. I was making a point, and you were saying about this, basically this workshop that you were going through. But to get back to maybe on the same tangent somewhere in there, after my third beer, that, you know, you keep repeating about being vulnerable and sensitive, and I think it's very important. Sure. For one, for people to be open and honest about, look, dude, this is who I am. So I really admire you. We're those people, like, dude, this is who I am. You either take it or leave it. But I also think there's room where we both say too, you know, take it or leave it, but I'm willing to learn. But I do want to reiterate that constantly saying that you're this vulnerable guy and a sensitive guy, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if anything, that's what we need more of in this fucking world. And for the people like, and I always say his name wrong, Lewis Howes, Hose, whatever. I'm sure it's not Hose. That's way wrong. But he's the same, you know? And I compare it to David Nail because I am always like resonating with these types of people that are to the root. They are just so sensitive and vulnerable in their emotion. And therefore, they're just... they're good at what they do. They're good with life, to the extent of making their impression on life. You know what I mean? Like, your art is your impression on this world. And it shows just, I don't know. I just feel like every time I hear you say the vulnerable and the sensitive, like, it's not a bad thing. It makes you who you are. And
I don't know that I'm making it a bad thing.
Okay, good. I don't think you're making it a bad thing. I just think that you're using a tone and it's apologetic, and I don't want it to be. Yeah. I think subconsciously maybe. Because, okay. You know, society tells us that vulnerable and sensitive men are bad or whatever they say. I don't think they're saying that anymore. I think society is definitely flipped upside down.
No, those guys are something else, aren't they?
But I think society is definitely flipped upside down a little bit more now, especially after this election, that, you know, we don't need somebody that is yelling at us and telling us what to do and, you know, in control of everything. We need somebody who, you know, they are heart-centered, like we've been talking about. So anyway, that was my tangent.
Heart-centered.
Which I drew a green heart. I always draw something on my leg or knee or something when I'm on these podcasts, so Mary Ellen would be very disappointed. But yeah, I drew a green heart, so that stands for heart-centered. So yeah, that was another tangent we went off on. But so what do you got coming up then?
We're good
just in life in general. What's going on with Christmas, and what's your 2021 look like to you? Like, if you could have anything you wanted and manifest it for 2021, what are you looking at? What's your vision board look like? No, like,
so
not necessarily like,
I use this
like legit stuff you have on your calendar, like all the stuff that you want.
No, for sure. That's okay. It's like, I have to write it down though. Cause I want to be clear on like the clarity piece. I think the clarity and the consistency run hand in hand, you know, when you're super clear on your goals and consistent about executing on action. And like, I'm not trying to make it like drill sergeant time here, but like there is something to that. And look, your words are more than generous about my art. You know, I am a professional artist. I'm not like, you know, I do a small thing, and yes, I am minimizing it, but it's my little, you're right. It's my little contribution, and I enjoy the hell out of it. It gives me a lot of joy. God dang it. I can't do this. Cause
we're talking about manifestations for 2021.
I keep losing my train of thought. 2021, right. So my point with that was I break it out into three like tangents, personal, health, and then like career. And so like, yeah, I want to have my online presence with the store that I'm in the midst of building right now on my website, www.sketchyfaces.com.
I forgot to Shame ask. That was what I was getting at earlier. But yeah, I'm all over the place tonight too. So cheers to us. Woo!
Sorry. I mean, that's what we do. Yeah, I've had a couple drinks. I do live in Colorado.
Puff, so we'll puff, pass it around.
And 2021, I feel if I do the work, I'm really focused, as you know, right now, like on just kind of doing some inner work right now on my emotional side of things. I am working on my business, building this store and trying to reimagine how to put my art out into the world so that people want to purchase it. Trying to exercise. Snowboard season is just opened here in Colorado, literally 10 minutes from my house today. And last week up in Keystone, where we have that cabin at. So that's getting ready to go. I'm not really, that's going to look all weird this year too, though, because of the Rona. So we'll see how that goes. I want to stay healthy. I want to, have a greater love for myself, which I think will in turn pay dividends on my love for mm-hmm. everybody else and everything else, and my art have a deeper trust within myself. And that's, I think, what's really important to me that can tie all of that together. Like the trust, the consistency, the creativity, the threes, I think a thing in threes, personal, health, career, that's, I don't know.
Weird. No, I was
tangent I was again, go but that's how I think of it. And,
I was going to go another tangent. I remember a conversation that we had way back when we were first like reconnecting about the number three and how it was both a number that we resonated with us. I remember that vividly. And yeah. Well, you don't, but whatever. Oh. I was there.
I'm failing.
You don't remember the little worry doll okay. thing that I sent you and the little number three? Yeah. Somewhere in the dust pile. But somewhere. Yeah. No, I do think that thing is it's important because when you can see it like just concisely, it helps, people talk about prayer and prayer is really just, wishing somebody a good day or, saying something to yourself over and over that you believe in or having that moment to yourself when you're appreciative of something. So, yeah, I think that whole manifestation you got going on for 2021 sounds pretty good. It seems almost like, I don't know, it's very eerie to me. I have a lot of faith that it's going to be a magnificent year. It's just not going to look as we have known it in the past. It's going to be revamped, but I do feel that it can still be this wonderful year with the same experiences that we had before COVID. But it's coming up on almost a year that this all hit, like as far as us hunkering down. And it just feels weird. I mean, to be home on my actual birthday over the last 3 or 4 years, I haven't been. That obviously a privilege in itself to be traveling about. But again, it's given me this kind of perspective that at least I have a home. I have a dog laying next to me. I have internet. I have a phone. Things that, holy shit, we probably wouldn't necessarily be thanking the universe for. So yeah, good times, good talk. So
for sure. What's next for you?
I don't
what's
really
your holiday
know.
season?
I
And
don't right now.
how are do you have anything on the radar that you're just kind of looking forward to and the craziness
Right
that you have
now,
that you're
I'm
thinking
just
about?
really
So what's your
focused on my
2021?
mom, her health and helping her get back to, even 50% for that, making sure I can be there for that, and my dad too. But also, David Nail's concert has been now rescheduled yet again. This will be the third time. It was in April last year, and then it rescheduled to October, and now it's April again. So I'm really holding out that I'll be out in Colorado. That'll be my first concert in the new year, hopefully. But no, I'm just taking. It's in Denver. I don't know.
Where at? What
The
basketball? Yeah, I would have
Grizzly
been
Rose.
just curious.
Yeah. But
Oh,
yeah,
Grizzly
as
Rose.
far as what's no, what's on the
Nice.
horizon,
Sorry, I didn't
I'm
mean to
just right
interrupt
now
you.
taking it day by day and trying to kind of separate myself from what's real and what's not, and not really forcing things. I feel like my positivity can sometimes be toxic for some people, and I feel like that's really unfortunate, but it has really opened my eyes to what people can take and what people really want to see. I feel like people really want to live in the negative, and so I don't know. I just don't want any part of that. My positivity is real. So, and then the days that I feel like I'm having an off moment and I spout about it, people just lose their shit. They're like, "Oh my God, are you okay? What's wrong? Blah, blah, blah." Like, yeah, I had a fucking rough day, dude. So I'll just keep it to myself next time. But yeah, COVID has really opened my eyes to what's real and what's fake. And I mean, I was always aware of it before, but I think even more now, I don't force it. Before, I was always like, well, there's some potential there. Not anymore. Not even close. So don't waste my time on those things. So,
Yeah, you're strong.
yeah.
You're a strong personality in that way. And I mean that as a compliment, like, 'cause yeah, I mean that I think I what the way I translate what you just kind of said is what I heard Maya Angelou say, which was, you can't
Yeah.
serve anybody from a half empty cup. Like, your cup has to be overflowing. And your cup's overflowing most days, I feel like, just like vibe wise, like your vibe is always pretty high, and I've always tried to compliment you on that because I think it's true. And I don't know, the COVID thing is, definitely, like I said, there's it sucks. There's a lot of suck about it, but I think there's a lot of blessings about it too. And it is a time for deep contemplation for a lot of people right now, because things are changing rapidly, So, and it's also unfortunately creating a little bit of a divide, because it's
Right.
become this political thing as well, and that's unfortunate. But it is what it is, and there's always going to be that, it seems like now, and it's only getting deeper. And whatever it is, whether it's the president or COVID or, the vaccine now, or, whatever there is to argue about, it seems that somebody's going to make an argument. And so then it just,
Well, and
is creating more arguments, it seems
I
like.
think too that
And
I mean people
yeah, please.
thrive off of the back and forth. And it's different when you actually want to hear somebody's viewpoint on something, but people just don't anymore. And the fact that people have made COVID into this political thing just shows where we are as human nature, as human beings, that we're not heart-centered. I mean, most people are not heart-centered. They are Yeah.
No, we're
We're
fucking centered on
centered
a
on
television for the most part. So, I
right.
mean, like,
Right. I
I don't
mean,
want to get
we're centered
that's
on
a
the fake and the
conversation
things
for
that
a
are
whole
spoon-fed
another
to us too,
show.
and then
But
we still make our own decisions and spout about it. But one of the things I've realized in myself is that I've never been a political person ever because I
yeah,
just have
I think a
never
lot of people are
been.
seeing that this
But
year.
I also think too that you
I
learn
feel that
that,
way too.
politics doesn't
Yeah.
have to be about control and money and power. It can be about human beings and human decency and all that. I think that's, you know, this whole 2020 experience and COVID has really opened all of that up. I hope that we're all just really the same. We're all the same. You know, we all have shit. We're all just dealing with it differently. And yeah, a whole nother topic. And I'm all like mellow now from my beer. I'm like, oh, let's talk about it more. But I mean, we can do it on a driveway another time. But yeah, COVID has certainly opened up the eyes and hopefully the hearts of the people that I care about, so that, you know, the things that we want to be important are even more important in 2021. At least that's what I'm hoping for. So, but yeah, me too. And I forgot to mention that we were originally FaceTiming and then it went dead, but you changed your business like attire to a very badass shirt that was all cactuses or cacti. So good job. I mean, you said it. I didn't. And my next guest tonight is. Yeah, good times.
Oh, shit. Okay, well, it sounded like we were
because we could just keep going. So. And I feel. Yeah.
I know. We will go on for days. So, for sure. I appreciate you having me on this. I definitely was nervous. I'm sorry to anybody that's listening for being, but just, man, this was a different, I've never,
no, you did great. Yeah, you did great. So I do.
I appreciate you having me on.
I want everybody to know where they can find your amazing art. You've got sketchyfaces.com. Scooby-Doo. That's just my underbite. I have bad teeth, everybody.
Snort.
Sketchyfaces.com, right? Correct, sir?
Oh, shoot. Sketchyfaces.com. We're over at Sketchy Fasa on your Sketchy Fasa. I just did it too. Holy crap. Sketchy Fasa? Sketchy Fasa. It's the Italian division of my business. Oh, shoot. Anyway, excuse me. Sketchy Faces over on Instagram and Sketchy Faces are on Facebook. Oh, my God. This has been awesome.
Right, yeah.
And I'm so glad that it's your birthday.
Absolutely.
And we're
dumb
idiots.
And dumber, literally.
But in the best way possible.
I'm here and you're there. Okay, so yeah. And we will most certainly be looking forward to any designs that you plan to put on a t-shirt in the future. So I'm waiting.
It's coming. Thank you for the motivation. You know that you're a huge push on that one, and I will get it done. It's just, I got to get this store built real quick because there's a couple things going on. I've got a couple things in the works, plus the shirt. So it's all coming, but I'm going to kind of just roll it out here and do some stuff because, like I said, COVID is, you know, I'm having to adjust too. So, and, you know, it's a weird time. We're all experiencing it at a different level, and it's heavy and good and beautiful and ugly all at the same time.
Absolutely. So, all right. Take care.
Anyway, let's wrap this up. I'll say goodnight.
Thank you so much.
Happy freaking 21st.
Will do. All right.
Take a couple
care.
Shots
we'll be in
for
touch.
Me.
All right.